if we just go back in time, we can, there's multiple waves, 2021 through 2022, huge move in the dollar. So I do think we're primed and ready. I think the dollar is doing one of these right now. I think it's in this type of base. So I think and feel that we're going to see the dollar up over like 116, the dollar index. And of course, that's going to wreak havoc on the equities markets. They're going to be crashing, and precious metals are going to get probably hit really hard, which I think is an amazing opportunity. I think anytime you can pick up metals at a discounted price after a big event is a great long-term position for upside. So the dollar right now is something to keep an eye on. If we start to break out above this 101 and really hold above that for a week or so, or it starts to expand and get even higher, that to me is a sign that the stock market, I think, may be putting in an actual top.
Good day, everybody. It's me, just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And today I am joined with Chris Vermeulen from the Technical Traders. Chris, how are you today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Not bad. So I wanted to first off ask you about gold and silver. We've had, quite the run, and then we've had some pullback. What phase are we in, and what comes next usually?
Yeah, the phase for gold and silver. I mean, we've kind of had a pretty good blow-off phase earlier this year, which was one hell of an exciting ride. When we look at the charts, which I can share my charts here and show you what I'm seeing.
Yes, please.
When we take a look at the chart of gold, let's just zoom out a little bit here. Let's zoom quite a ways back. We've had obviously this giant run from really 2024. We saw this big move up, and things really started to go parabolic and ballistic, late 2025, and then peaked out kind of January of this year. So overall, we've seen this big move up. Now, overall, I think we're still in a massive super cycle for gold. In fact, if we were to pull up the monthly chart, we can go way back in time, and I believe we have another big move to go to both the downside, but then to the upside. So where we are right now in this pullback phase, I believe is actually going to be very similar to the pullback in 2008, in terms of we're probably going to see the financial markets have a little bit of a hiccup and a correction. It may pull gold back a little bit more here, but then it's going to eventually base out, and then boom, we take off and we see gold, probably eventually break 10,000 and change to the upside. So I'm really bullish. I think we have this second half of this move that'll last 5 to 10 years. I think it's going to be pretty explosive. But from a short-term standpoint, when we zoom in onto the daily chart, what should we be expecting over the next little bit here? It is a little bit of a bearish picture. I mean, we had gold hit our target. We had a target around 5,200 or so. We hit that level. We actually ended up closing our gold out just over 5,000 and change. But the charts right now are pointing to quite a bit lower still. We've got a Fibonacci extension, which is based on Fibonacci theory, which pretty much the whole universe seems to function on, based on the most recent, the previous sell-off and the bounce. It'll tell us where it should be starting to find support, and also where the next target is. Now, typically, on a Fibonacci move, you have the first leg down, and then you have the bounce. Based on that, you apply this theory, and it shows you where the next two targets are, which is the 618, which you should usually see a bounce or pause. And if it bounces and pauses at the 618, which is considered the golden ratio, we almost always go down and hit the 100% measured move, which is 3,600 for gold. So this will be like an amazing opportunity. I'm gunning for gold to get down here. It'll be a long-term point of view is really the markets are efficient, and that is right where the markets broke out in 2025, where everyone started to chase and drive price higher. That's where the parabolic phase really kicked into high gear. So everybody who was late to the game, literally buying on FOMO, the market has a great way of testing them and saying, "Hey, you just chase things. That was just an emotional trade. It's going to put you through the roller coaster, try to shake you out, make you want to give up." And then once it gets to 36, if it gets there, I think that is a long-term opportunity. Back the truck up, pick up physical metals, pick up mining stocks. I think it's a huge opportunity, and we're not that far away. In fact, we could be there in a few days, but the market always has a way of dragging things out. It could actually still take a couple of months if we get some bounce or pause here. So that's the downside target for gold. Now, if gold holds where it is right now, Steve, it actually has a much more bullish point of view. And the upside target for gold, based on the super cycle, is about 8,000 is the first stop, and then about 8,600 is the second stop. So if we were to just squish this chart down of gold, you can get an idea of kind of where that is. That level up here is around, I need to squish it down a bit more, about 8,600, way up here. So there's a lot of upside for gold as well if it can find traction. And right now, gold is trading at this really critical support level. It needs to find traction here. If it doesn't find traction, then we're probably going to 36 first before we go up. And if it goes to 36, it could take many months. It could even take a year or so for gold to base and build a foundation and start to rally again. So overall, the big picture for gold is bullish. Short term, though, the trend is down. And we do have this major mixed signal in the market right now, which is the long-term trend, which is the 150-day moving average, which I love to follow to understand if it's sloping up and prices above it, you're generally in a bullish environment. So the long-term trend for metals are still up, but the short-term trend and all the other moving averages are sloping down. We have lower highs, lower lows. That is the definition of a downtrend. So we have this like mixed signal in the market. And when there's a mixed signal, we just step aside, let the asset class figure itself out. And so that's what we're doing with gold right now, is just waiting to see, are we going to get an opportunity to buy it lower, or do we reload and get back in if it builds a base and starts to take off and we get in for the next leg higher? And it's just a wait and see at this point.
So mixed signal, when you hear mixed signal, you think, let's wait and see. Is that also kind of where you see a lot of the volatility?
I think the volatility, I think it's, yeah, well, we're in a sideways market for gold and silver. Like it really is, it has this underlying uptrend, but it has a short-term downtrend. So they're fighting each other. And so we get this type of volatility, which is we have this sell-off here, you know, it drops 15%, it rallies 20%, it drops 15%. So we're in this unknown choppy environment, and that's what I focus on avoiding, is identifying when something is trendless and there's a lot of noise and volatility that should just be avoided, and then when to reposition yourself into that asset class once it actually has clearly picked a direction and where we want to go. Now, I would never bet on falling gold. I want it to go down, but I'm not betting against it. I would let gold and silver miners kind of flush out, sell off, and I'd be looking to accumulate. So right now, the volatility is just, it's kind of trendless with mixed signals, and it's kind of a coin toss back and forth. So you got to let the opportunity present itself. Either it falls to a major support, which is a long-term buying opportunity, or it starts to break out, starts to run higher, and it creates a new uptrend, and we just reinvest. Until then, it's just noise, it's just volatility in that complex.
Chris, you mentioned the 618, the golden ratio. Could you explain that a little bit more and kind of how that applies here?
Yeah, so Fibonacci theory, for those who aren't don't understand it. So Fibonacci is a sequence of numbers. It's you see it in shells and flowers and the universe, all kinds of things. Really, you need to Google it. It's a calculation of just the way things tend to evolve, and it tells you those are the two numbers that I use are the 618, which is a fractal number. It can be used on any time frame, expanded, contracted. It works pretty much in everything. And it's just a universal kind of, I don't know, it's like a superpower. I don't know how to explain it, but life and everything seems to evolve around it or through it. And so when these levels are reached, so for example, the 618 downside target, which is where gold is, it's telling us that that is naturally a level where the universe or price is going to naturally have kind of a gravitational pull towards it. When it gets there, it's probably going to have a little bit of a bounce. It'll act as support short term. And then from there, the longer Fibonacci theory, which is the 100% measured move, is even further down on gold, which is around this 36. So once it breaks through that golden ratio level to the downside, it's naturally just going to start running and naturally moving towards the 100% measured move. So you really need, I did do a YouTube video exactly on Fibonacci extensions, how they work, and some history behind them on YouTube. But there's all kinds of great stuff on it.
Chris, how does this compare with silver? Is this kind of the same thing you're expecting there?
It is similar. The only difference is volatility. When you look at gold, silver, and miners, they're pretty much the same trade. A lot of people will spread their money out through a whole bunch of stuff, and which is fine. But when one loses, they pretty much all lose. They are the same trade almost. So they all move together. So I always like to look at gold. Gold is the big brother or the big sister, whatever you want to call it. And if you know where gold is moving, gold to me has the kind of global sentiment and the demand. And so if I know where gold is going and or how strong or weak a gold move or sentiment is, then it tells me how much more volatile silver will be and the miners, just because they're faster moving, they're more speculative, and so it has more emotions. So if gold is a little bit unstable and the sentiment is weak, usually silver and miners are much more volatile and scattered. So I like to always follow gold, but silver will move in the same direction in most cases. And so when we look at the silver chart using a Fibonacci extension, now this had an initial big move to the downside. It then had a bounce here. And if we carry that initial leg over, we are actually down to the same spot. It actually hit the 618 level already once. It then bounced and drifted higher. It's now back down to this level. Most likely, silver is actually gunning for about $40 per ounce. And that is a big haircut. It'll be like some washout low. I mean, it'll be a screaming opportunity. And it does pretty much the same thing we saw with gold. It is going to get anybody who was late to the game, who literally just was buying because of excitement and the feeling like, I mean, most of us in the precious metal space have been in metals forever. So, I mean, if you're buying on the screaming high, I mean, usually you're a pretty late comer. And so anybody who chases prices in the last little bit, the market again is efficient. It's going to say, hey, it's not that easy to make money on this. You don't just jump on this train. So it is going to try to take the money off of them, right? It's just the way it is. And so if we get this flush down, emotional traders are going to have to ride the roller coaster and go through that pain. It's just lack of experience and understanding how psychology and parabolic moves and all of that stuff works. So silver has a very similar scenario. The upside here, silver is at a critical support. If silver holds here, just like we were talking with gold, the upside target for silver is pretty nice. I mean, we're looking at about 175 for silver to the upside. And so that is, I'll just draw a horizontal line here. That is a pretty substantial move from where it is right now. If we look at silver, that is roughly a 172% upside move. And again, silver has a long-term uptrend, a short-term downtrend. It has mixed signals. I mean, we got out of silver at 111 just before it peaked, as Fibonacci targets told us that was the level to get out before it potentially implodes. And of course, the sentiment was at extremes. And so we're looking for the next reset, which is about $40. And so if silver does that, I mean, look at the difference in return. If silver was to bounce, find support and rally and go to the next target, it's about 172% return. If you navigate, out of a trendless market when it runs out of steam and you accumulate it near a new low, you can see the difference. If, you were to allow that to happen, you pretty much like double your returns. It dramatically jumps up. And that's what I focus on, is like understanding when a major peak is coming into play, moving aside, reloading when the sector has washed itself out or the commodity, reload at a cycle low, and then you rinse and repeat. It really allows a lot of leverage, a lot of potential. And during this time when it's trading sideways, we've been in the equities markets. We're riding the equities markets higher, locking in lots of profits. And so my whole strategy is avoiding holding assets going sideways or down, and to always hold the asset class that is moving. We were in precious metals, now we're focusing on equities. And so that's what I focus on, is reinvesting our capital in whatever asset class is moving.
So silver is doing the same thing gold is, which is the mixed signal thing, and that's why you're moving things over to other places. You mentioned equity. Is that kind of where you're looking at? If you can talk about ETFs and mining and all the other things that you find are good buys right now.
Yeah, so we'll touch on miners really quick. I mean, when we look at miners, they have what looks to be a topping formation. it looks like miners are breaking down. So if we were to just grab this kind of overall top, what looks to be a topping formation, it is breaking down, picking up speed. And if gold and silver break down, we're going to see miners sell off as well. Now, I think there's quite a bit of downside still. What is this? This is GDXJ. So using Fibonacci extensions, we can get an idea of where that momentum is headed. So it's already sliced through the 618 support level or target, and now it's heading towards about $83 per share. So there's still more downside in miners. If we take a look, it's about another 13, 14% to the downside, potentially over the next week or two. Where I like things right now is the equities market. Like if we take a look at, well, we can look at the market through my lens. I have two different lenses that I look through the market and how I trade them. The first one, which is on the right-hand side here, is how I see the market. It's almost like if you put on like a different creatures type of lenses, you see different spectrums, right? And so this is the spectrum on the right-hand side. These color coding with orange and yellow and deep red and greens is how I see the market. This is bringing a lot of things into play. This is bringing in price action. It's bringing in time cycles. It's bringing in money flows, sentiment. It's bringing in a lot of different dimensions. A lot of people just follow price, and price is great. You do need price to be moving in your favor, but there's a lot of other things you need to be aware of money flows between different assets. What assets are they? And so, for example, this market, as you know, it started to have all these mixed signals. Eventually, it turned deep red and it said, hey, this market, the stock market has lost its upward trend. Money flows have changed. Sentiment has turned negative. You need to get out because it looks like it wants to sell off. And so that's what happened. And then when we look at the chart on the left, you can see that's when we had our trend change. We know when to hold stocks and we know when not to hold stocks. And so when you apply all of this stuff, you know, it allows you to know when to be in that asset. And of course, the market eventually bounced. And when you look through the market the way that we do, you can identify, is it a bounce or is it the start of a new trend? And so we saw a bit of a bounce. We saw a nice big bounce, and then suddenly it kicked into a trend, and our system said, hey, this is not a bounce anymore. Everything has completely switched gears again. You need to get long. And so we've been riding this market up, and we've done the same with the Nasdaq. We've ridden the market up with the Nasdaq, locking in some profits as we go. But as you can see, where we are right now, Steve, is we're starting to get orange bars on the right-hand side chart here. This is telling us that the market internals are starting to weaken. The market's getting a little more sick, and so we need to be aware. We're on the cusp of another big leg down and a big sell-off. Maybe the SpaceX IPO is going to be a big trigger for this. I don't know. There's a lot of emotions flying. We're a bit of in a euphoric phase with the markets, where people just are buying every tech stock and Micron Technologies and all that stuff. You know, people are just chasing pricing, and I think it's about to come to an end, and there's going to be a good reset here.
Chris, two thoughts. First of all, if you can show me a little bit behind the curtain, how did your system flag, or what if you can give me some ideas of what the system looks for that tells you, okay, it's going to go up, and then same thing, like what are some things that it looks like that makes it go down, and how do you measure momentum and euphoria and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of my secret recipe. That's what makes it so powerful. But again, it's a we like to look at price action from three different time frames. So we want to know if we're in a bull or bear market cycle, which we can look through the lens here, which is it tells us when we're in a bull market. This is the weekly chart of the S&P 500. So in 2023, a new bull market started, and then there was a point where we needed to protect our capital. There was a new bull market started. So we need these multiple time cycles to come into play. Are we in a bull market? And then when we go and we look at the market from a shorter standpoint, the daily chart is the daily chart in an uptrend. And then we zoom into the 30-minute chart and we look at the shorter term momentum and say, is the 30-minute chart in a momentum? Does it have bullish price action? So price action is number one on multiple time frames. We do use cycles as well. We like to follow the different cycle wavelengths of where the markets are going to be favorable. There's naturally upward bias or downward bias. And of course, we want to know where money is flowing. There's a lot of different asset classes that money flows in. Could be utilities, there's the precious metals space, there's currencies. And you know, there's risk on currencies, there's risk off currencies. You look at utilities, for example, if we go look at utilities or real estate, for example, here's IYR, the real estate ETF. The stock market has been selling off and real estate has been going up. And so there's these defensive pockets, and we want to know, is money moving out of risky stocks and into the boring sectors? Like, if real estate's moving up, you know, naturally when people are nervous and they think their tech stocks are going to sell off, or they're miners or whatever they're into, biotech, when they get nervous, I mean, money usually has to stay in the market. That's how money management works, is they just kind of rotate. And so they don't get out of the market. They just go to a different sector. And that's why we see utilities have been moving up when there's a big down day in stocks. We see real estate moving higher over the past few days as the stock market sells off. So it's understanding the money flows and how much money is flowing to these. And if there's big money flowing to them and into multiple different defensive plays, that strengthens the sign saying, hey, this is not just a little pullback in the market and money kind of bouncing to these. It's big players are locking in gains, they're liquidating, and they're moving their money to a slower asset class. The real estate ETF utilities, they move really slow. And their dividend paying in most cases. And that's where, you know, when money's scared, it goes to slower moving stuff. So they don't have to worry about volatility because it usually picks up as the stock market sells off. And so we just bring all of these things together. There's a whole kind of recipe on how we track it, but that's how we do it, is a series of sentiment and cycles and price action and money flows.
Yeah, just so Chris, we're clear. I'm not asking for your sauce. I'm just asking for a taste. So, Chris, you mentioned currency, you mentioned price, you mentioned currencies. Can you tell me a little bit about the dollar? And I don't know if you had a chance to look at the yuan, and what your thoughts are on that, but are there currencies that you find compelling right now, and what are you kind of nervous about?
Yeah, I don't have the one on here, but if we take a look at the dollar is getting to a very critical point. It has been trying to carve out a base for a long time, and we can see this as two patterns. This is either a giant bear flag. If it breaks to the downside, I mean, it'll probably mean stocks are rocketing higher, all kinds of things. Precious metals will be on fire. But if it breaks to the upside, which is actually what the long-term bias is, that means we're probably seeing uncertainty in the markets, global uncertainty. The stock market is probably selling off. If the dollar breaks out, we're going to see a major headwind for precious metals, which would bring precious metals to those downward targets that I showed you. So the dollar is testing resistance here. We're on the cusp of, I think, a very big pop and move. We've seen, you know, I think we could see a huge rally in the dollar, which will put pressure on metals. We've seen it in the past. We can have these very big moves in the US dollar index. If we just go back in time, there's multiple waves, 2021 through 2022, huge move in the dollar. So I do think we're primed and ready. I think the dollar is doing one of these right now. I think it's in this type of base. So I think and feel that we're going to see the dollar up over like 116, the dollar index. And of course, that's going to wreak havoc on the equities markets. They're going to be crashing, and precious metals are going to get probably hit really hard, which I think is an amazing opportunity. I think anytime you can pick up metals at a discounted price after a big event is a great long-term position for upside. So the dollar right now is something to keep an eye on. If we start to break out above this 101 and really hold above that for a week or so, or it starts to expand and get even higher, that to me is a sign that the stock market, I think, may be putting in an actual top. We have been waiting for this for a long time. The dollar's been putting in a major bottom. Equities have been stretched higher with pretty much AI and a lot of kind of FOMO and hype, and there's just a lot of momentum. But it is coming to an end, as I showed you through our market lens there. It's starting to break down under the hood of the markets and weaken.
So, when it comes to the charts, what do you look for the dollar in particular that we're ready for a breakout? Is there something that you can show me? I mean, I know that. And then the second question with that is the narrative, with all that is going on in the Middle East. Does that come into play? And how do you kind of balance the price narrative and where you look for value?
Yeah, so just going back to what we'd be looking for price. So this is the previous move. What we'd be looking for is some type of breakthrough to the upside of the market, and then it flags sideways and builds kind of a launch pad. Depending on where, there's a few different levels we could even draw lines here. But what we're looking for is some type of clean breakout, a big run and a big push through it. Depending on how we zoom in, we can use a few different highs. Either it pushes through it and flags out, or it does it from a higher level, a further back level. It pushes through and then flags out, and then from there it starts to run higher. So if we fast forward to today, what we would be looking for is for the dollar to push up here and then potentially take a bit of a pause, which is a bull flag pattern, and then have another leg higher. So if it break cleanly breaks through and then has a nice controlled pause, it doesn't just crash right back down. It holds up. If it can hold up, and then if it starts to turn higher, that is going to be the signal, okay, like the dollar is now in a new uptrend. Look out below for stocks and commodities because it's going to move higher. So we just need a really clean break, get some distance from this resistance area, and for price to hold above it, not just get pulled right back down. You can see the previous times we get up into these levels, we end up seeing a pretty big sharp pullback, and it takes some takes a while to recover. So we
So,
that's what
like,
we want to
are
see.
you looking at if it hits over 100 sort of thing? That's kind of buckle up.
Well, not so much 100. I think it really needs to push up to like one, like hold above 101, maybe even poke right up to kind of this previous high over here around 102. If it can push up there and then hold its ground and do a bull flag pattern, I'll be like, okay, this is it. Like the perfect storm is brewing. Get ready for the dollar to rally, metals and stocks to fall. So that's what I'm looking for, not just the 100 level everybody's talking about, and that is kind of the breakout level, the just in that 100 range. But what we want to see is it clearly break through that 101, 102, and then pause. It's not about trying to profit from the breakout. It's we want to clearly see it break out and hold, and then get in afterwards. And the way I like to look at the markets, a lot of people try to pick tops and bottoms, and the way I look at the market is, you know, you go to a different country and you get to a train station, you can't read the signs, you don't know the language, and the train is sitting there. You have no idea. There's arrows literally pointing in both directions. You don't know which way it's going to go. That is what gold and silver are doing right now. That is what the dollar is doing. What I like to do is let the thing start moving, prove that it's actually going that way, and then run and jump on. And so that's where we're at. And a lot of people want to be active. They think they always need to be in trades. So we just need to let the dollar here cleanly break out, hold up for a week or two, or build a pattern, and then we can be like, okay, it is going in this direction. And that's the same for gold and silver. So it's sitting on your hands waiting patiently for a trade to set up versus trying to just, you know, get in and guess before it actually picks a true direction.
So is the popular move right now liquidity and just having just cash ready to go? Is that kind of the play here, or is there a sector that you're going, you probably want to put some in here at this point?
Yeah, so we've been long the SPY and the QQQ for quite a while. We've scaled out. We have a very small position left in the S&P 500 position. The rest is sitting in cash on the sidelines right now. We've pretty much liquidated as we hit a, you know, 12.5% target last week, a week and a half ago on the SPY. And so we're sitting with liquidity, waiting for an opportunity. And we do that quite often, like anywhere from 20 to 40% of the time each year, we're sitting in cash waiting for the next opportunity. We don't want to just be exposed to the markets when it's trendless. We want to make sure when our money's in, it's on a train moving. And so that's what we do. We patiently wait. And I love cash. People don't see it as a position. They see it as fear or failure or lack of a strategy. But cash is actually one of the best positions, especially in a bear market. I mean, would you rather make 4% on your money or the year or lose 40%, right? So cash is very powerful. Patience you have to be successful long term in the game. And really, you gotta let the markets create opportunities, and then you have to have the cash to put into it. But that's kind of the game that we play, is we wait and then we hop on. And I look at the stock market and commodities, any asset, like the ocean tide. If the stock market is in a bull market going up, then it's a rising tide. All boats go up with a rising tide. Then you can just play stocks. But when the tide's not going up, you really don't want to hold any stocks because they're pretty much all linked. And so that's what I focus on is, again, just being in an asset that is moving. The dollar's about to come to life, and I think, there's going to be an opportunity in the dollar. There is a dollar ETF, right? USD, was it USDU is a symbol, which mimics the US dollar. UUP is another symbol. So there is a way to play this. And when you look at the dollar here, it actually has, it has potential to rally 8, 10 plus percent over the next potential several months, which isn't huge, but I'll tell you, it is pretty darn good if everything else is collapsing and falling in price. It really starts to stand out.
So when you see the dollar, let's say that the dollar were to skyrocket, what can we expect for gold, silver, and then when does that flip? And when do we see silver go to the, is it possible for silver to go to 300? Is a number I heard again yesterday. And what would need to happen for silver to go to those numbers? But when the dollar goes up, doesn't that put a lot of pressure for silver and gold to go down?
It does. I mean, I think the majority of people think gold and silver are going to the moon. There's a lot of big targets out there, and I believe they're all right. I think in due time, silver will hit 300, gold will hit 12,000 and 25,000, right? But that might not even be in my lifetime. But I do think it will happen. So, I mean, those big targets are really easy. I look at every target as one leg at a time. I do one measured move. This is where the next move is going. Sometimes I'll zoom out to the bigger picture and say, well, the big picture says it's going here, but let's not get carried away and get too excited about these huge targets. Because as soon as you put a big target, people throw risk out the window. They get overpositioned in something. And when it backfires, they suffer dramatically because they're heavily loaded because they're kind of pie in the sky, these big dreams of huge potential, but they can't ride the roller coaster ride. So what I think what we're looking for, if the dollar starts to break here and gets up to 101, 102, we are going to see gold and silver really start to sell off. Those downside targets I gave you are just the first set of downside targets. If we do see this dollar really start to rip higher, it really depends on what breaks the market. So if it's just momentum and the tech bubble bursts, I think we could see gold, silver sell off with all of this temporarily. Gold and silver could have a very quick, sharp drop and actually hit those targets. Like they could hit them in like a week or two, and then maybe they start to stabilize and actually start to put a bottom in. So I do think the downside potential for metals is very quick. We could see it go down there. I mean, I was talking with a member today. We were on a hike this morning, about 5:30 this morning, and we were talking about metals, and I was like, I liquidated all my physical metals up near the peak, and I'm like, we could see a very sharp drop over the next couple of weeks in silver and gold, which I need to reload. I feel very exposed and naked not having physical metals because I've had them like my entire life. And so I'm itching to get back in. And so I think you need to be ready to pull the trigger because we could see a very big, quick drop in gold and silver that honestly, it could happen in one big day. It could be a big opportunity and some big flush out, and everybody will say, oh, it was manipulated. But I mean, the charts are pointing to that happening again. We see these huge moves happen quite frequently in different assets and things like that. So I think, yeah, the dollar breaking
Chris,
out is
I
going to
know
put
that.
pressure.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying the dollar going up is going to put a lot of pressure on metals, and I think we've got a lot of downside potential in metals. If I wouldn't bet on falling pricing, but it'll be an opportunity to pick up at a lower price.
Chris, I know you guys are pretty big on preserving wealth. What's the right way to think about gold and silver? Because when people hear gold and silver, they think wealth preservation. They think it's there to be a hedge against inflation. So is there a certain amount that we should be putting in bullion? I mean, what's your best strategy in play on how you should be playing gold and silver?
Everybody's got their own situation, their age, the amount of capital they have, where their money is stuck, right? And in real estate, different things. The way that I've played it is, I look at gold. I do navigate it differently than I do the stock market. So I look at gold as major super cycles. It's kind of early 2000s was the first major phase where I got involved, and then we went through the 2008. This first move up. Then we went into this bearish environment. Gold broke into a new super cycle in 2019, which is when I loaded the boat on metals. I also picked up a lot in 2020, the crash, a lot of silver on the crash. And now we've come to this kind of what is a euphoric kind of super cycle peak, which is where I've exited my physical metals. And now I want to let it figure itself out. It can also be seen as something like this. This is the scenario. We could go into something where it takes a long time to come back. The markets love to do what the majority of people don't think is going to happen, right? And who knows? We could see metals trade sideways or lower for a long time and sell off. But the way I look at it is we've just had a super cycle to the upside. We had a euphoric phase, whether that is a 2008 euphoric phase and it kind of sells off, or is it 2011 that takes forever to recover. I'm not sure. But when I move into metals, I try to buy them when they are what I believe is fairly undervalued, or they're starting a new bull market. So if things come down, I will start to accumulate at that Fibonacci target at 3,600 is a level where I'll say, you know what, I'm gonna start to build a position. And if it keeps dropping or basing over time, I will add to it. And my portfolio, I mean, it was probably, I mean, up near this peak here, it ended up being about 10%, maybe 12% of my portfolio value. It was a much smaller percentage, but metals skyrocketed, so it instantly grew and became a big chunk. And so, I mean, that's about maximum. Like, I don't swing for the fences with metals. I look at it as an insurance plan, like buying insurance for your house. It's just a thing about the government. It's about currencies blowing up. If the internet goes down, we're screwed because we all tap with our phones. And I'll never forget the story. We had the internet go out in Canada, went Canada wide, it went down. We only have a couple carriers. The biggest carrier went down, and I had to like go from my office in town, find somebody with a different internet connection. And I remember I sat down and this guy came to me. He goes, "Chris, how's it going?" I had no idea who he was. He was a fund manager who happens to follow me. And he's like, "You want to talk?" I'm like, "Sure." So we sit down. He's like, "You won't believe what just happened." He goes, "All the internet's down." He says, "I went to the gas station." He's like, "I always keep a stack of rounds, silver rounds in my glove box." And he says, "The gas station took the silver rounds and let me fill up with gas." And it just goes to show you need to have physical metals on you, because all we need is one chaos. The internet goes down or the power goes out. And it literally comes back to like push and shove. Like, it's if you got a gun, you'll get what you want, right? Or if you have physical metals, you can actually barter for it. So I think metals are critical. And so I buy them as an insurance. If the currencies blow up, government blows up, the metals will skyrocket. And if it's 5 or 10% of my account, it will probably 10x the value and counter the losses that I have in the fiat currency and in different asset classes that is dropping, right? So that's how I look at it. I'm looking to move in and out in 10, 15-year increments if I can play these big waves and kind of go from there.
Chris, before I let you guys, want to ask one big question. What's the biggest mistake that you're seeing people make right now, in terms of whether they're, overestimating a certain class or overplaying? I don't know if you believe the AI tech is nearing a top or what, but like, is there a certain asset class that you would really advise warning against? What other some mistakes that people make right now?
There's no doubt the stock market is in an uptrend. We are long equities. I think equities are still the play at the moment, but I do think people are overexposed to technology. I think people are a little overexposed to the AI bubble. You look how quickly things are moving. Like Micron Technologies, in like a year and a half, it's up 1,500%. And they can lose like 5 or 12% in a day of value. There's a lot of volatility in this space. There's a lot of momentum, a lot of people chasing prices. Just like Steve, you and I looked at the gold and silver chart, how everybody chases it up and then it comes and then the market tries to shake you out. The chase up or that parabolic move is our emotional people piling in. And when they all pile in, they also all pile out. And it usually the market falls 4 to 7 times faster than it goes up. So I think people just need to have some type of protective stop in place. If you're just getting into the markets now, I think you better have a game plan to get out, unless you want to ride, the roller coaster down, which it could be a fairly big correction. So I think people just need to be aware. I think a lot of people are blinded by the excitement of AI. There was this article I just read. This guy just sold his like $2.6 million house, and he says, "Why own a house when you can own SpaceX and OpenAI?" He's putting all of his money in those two stocks, and I'm just like, it should be on the cover of a magazine. It'll like epically say, "This is the bubble peak," right? Like people giving up on real assets and piling into like, IPOs, which carry a lot of risk.
Yeah. Chris, can you tell us about the technical traders, what that's all about, why you started it, and who it benefits, and how people can find you?
Sure. Yeah. Technical traders. I started that in 2008. Really sharing. I started managing my own portfolio. That's pretty much all I do now. I manage my portfolio. I have a few different businesses, and I share exactly how I manage my portfolio. I tell you the positions, the allocations, my targets, my stops. We literally trade together. I issue the trade alert the day before of what I'm doing, and we all execute the same trades. And I just use ETFs. More or less, my whole focus is let's not ride something down. Let's protect our capital. If you protect your capital, you're also protecting your lifestyle, and you can sleep better at night. And what I do is very low volatility. Our biggest drawdown, our loss on our strategy is less than 6%, and that's through the 2008 bear market, the financial crash, tech, you name it, all of this stuff. It protects us from the chaos and the news and the wars. And so I focus on protecting it. And if you don't have big losses, you don't need big wins. You don't need to swing for the fences. You don't need to get heavy weighted in a particular volatile asset class. We just need a bunch of first, second base hits throughout the year. And my strategy usually has 5 to 12 trades. We usually make 1.5%, 2% on a trade, and they kind of compound on top of each other. They're low risk, slow moving, but they build on each other. And that's how we navigate through the markets. So we can just focus on kind of life and other things, because the markets, I mean, I used to day trade. I used to run a futures day trading room. It's fun, but it's a job. And there's a lot better things than staring at a screen all day.
Yeah. Well, and then how do people find you?
They can go to thetechnicaltraders.com, or they can go to my YouTube channel, The Technical Traders. I share some daily insights there. And I usually give a morning video out to subscribers of what's going on, how it's affecting our positions. We have these very unique tools and indicators that allows me to get a feeling for what most traders and investors are thinking and feeling, so I can help kind of really rein in on people's emotions during big rallies and big sell-offs. I can be like, "Hey, this is totally normal. You're going to feel like this. This is why. Let everybody else panic. We've got a game plan. We don't need to worry about this stuff." And so I hold a lot of investors' hands to just neutralize their emotions, which usually causes most of the damage is emotional trading.
Well, everyone, I'll be putting Chris's links and socials for the technical traders in the show notes. Please check those out. Everyone, thanks for listening. I'm just Steve Yang, learning alongside you from great people like Chris Vermeulen. Stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Thanks again so much, Chris.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye, guys.